This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hoops galore so far today, and rightfully so, as we celebrate the Crab Five. And the Lady Terps just put it down and took care of business on the home court. And we just can't stop winning. That's just such a good thing. I absolutely, absolutely love it. Talked about the Chiefs and UConn, their attempts to three-peat. And it shows you, man, when everybody circles you, when you're that bullseye, I mean, you can't have a bad day. That's a ton of pressure. Both programs, I commend it. I know Coach is taking a lot of flack for some of the things he said afterwards, but those kids, they were not the same unit, but they fought. They took it down to 3 minutes. I mean, they went after it, and that was good to see. Ben Standick is going to join us. And this mock draft. Have you ever been involved in a mock draft? I know college campuses, a lot of young people, I don't know what it's like to have a cell phone in college with the technology that you guys have now. But Ben Standick joined us now. Benjamin, David Aldridge sends you his best. I told him you sent him your best. So we got that athletic thing now nailed down. And I was asking the young fella, Ben. You know, Ben is 21 years old, Brother Standick.
Yeah, so, that's
your best behavior. We're almost like in a training. So, you know, we had the youngest in charge movement, which started by Linnell Willingham. Then the torch was passed to Toby Altizer. And now Mr. Strober is taking up. He's making a claim for it. You got to earn it. You know, it takes a minute. Got to get through the four major sports, but he's a candidate right now, and he's looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. How excited are you right now? Do you get thrown away working on these mocks with all this March Madness going around you, or are you able to stay focused and work on the mock draft?
Staying focused for me on any topic is always a challenge. To be honest, my biggest hindrance this year has been the Commanders, because usually I'm starting to focus on mock drafts in like November. Needless to say, that didn't happen. And then even once the season ended, you know, they had, you know, 28 free agents and you know, just there's still the hoopla of the season and, you know, how much, you know, how successful it was and all that. So that's really been my delay. Then on top of it, the fact that they're picking 29, like, it's really hard to project that. And obviously I'm doing a full first round, not just what they're doing, but, right. You know, that's obviously the main focus for me. And, yeah, so it's been kind of, it's been challenging, and I blame the team mostly.
Let me ask Ben Strober a question. Ben, on a college campus with all this going on, is mock drafts a thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think given how I've been the past couple years on campus, I'm just known as the guy that's been crazy about the Commanders. So people will often come to me asking, who should we draft? Who should we sign? And I never can give anyone a really clear answer. I think last year was the only time where I was pretty confident the team was going to take Jaden Daniels to be its next quarterback. And obviously that was the best move that anyone in a college campus at Maryland currently had seen in their lifetime. But yeah, I'd say there's a little bit of that because people want to know how the team is going to get better. And boy, when the team finally got better, some of these fans that you didn't really know existed in your first 3 years of college, all of a sudden they have burgundy and gold on around campus. Pretty funny how that works.
Okay, Benjamin, without further ado, you know most of our fan base, their focus is going to be on what we think the Commanders are going to do. So why don't we start with that, and then you can go in reverse and break the whole round down for those that will be wagering on your picks.
Sure. I mean, I guess first off, you know, you got to look at what the team has done so far. And I think, you know, look, do I think that they still need a couple of spots? Like, I think they need some more upside at edge rusher, probably need more another corner, both for the long term and also just for this year. And I still think they could use like another playmaker with some speed somewhere on offense. But that said, they've done a, you know, like similar to last year, I think they've done a pretty good job of filling in like a rotation such that if the season were starting today, maybe it isn't, each group isn't the best, but they have enough there to go forward. And ultimately, what I think that means is Adam Peters can go into the draft not feeling, hey, we have to do this, we have to do that. So edge rusher is typically the spot where I think most of us are like, this is where they need to go. The way the board, though, is following, it's kind of falling, it kind of feels like there's going to be several edge rushers or edge defenders that go in round one, and the ones who might be there, the way I'm seeing it right now, the ones might be there closer to Washington are guys who are more like sort of built like 3-4 outside linebackers. And for a team that is looking to get an edge defender to help with the run game, you know, stop the run after last year, I don't know that those guys are necessarily the best fits or the best options at 29. It's starting to feel like cornerback might be the place to look at. There'll be a couple of guys that go earlier in round one, but then I think it feels like the next run is going to be towards the back end. And I think that's where you've got this kid, Azaria, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, Thomas out of Florida State. And, you know, he's 6'2". He's considered to be a really good press corner, you know, good in coverage, physical player. And, you know, in terms of the corners, that just sounds a lot like a guy that I would think Joe Witt Jr. would very much like. So that's where I have them going here. Now I actually have them with a trade down. It isn't at 29, a slight trade down with the Browns at 33. Because obviously Washington only has 5 picks right now. I'm sure they would like more. And I don't think the drop off from 29 into the 30s is going to be a huge deal. So that's how I have them going right now. But I just think that, you know, as much as everybody, I think as much as a lot of people would like them to get an edge defender, and I would think that's probably their top goal, be prepared that based on the way things are kind of looking, that may not be the best option for them late in the first round.
And again, they say trust your source, Adam Peters. You understand his philosophy, and I agree with it, that if I have a guy already in the league that I pretty much know what his upside is, as opposed to anybody out of college. I mean, JD5, everybody, no one knew till you saw it. And they were right. But when you start talking about that edge is so important, because you not only have to be skillful, but you got to be physical enough to be able to establish that edge. If not, it's just too far for Bobby to have to go. We get killed on cut. I mean, when the guy, it's Saquon Barkley. Hello. But, man, scoring the first play of the game in a game of that significance, that's something you make up out when you're out at the park, not in a real game. You can't, that just can't happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, in general, I think one of the questions I've had, whether I'm on with Kevin or just, you know, people hitting me up on Twitter, like the question is sort of like, hey,
I think he would prefer to be referred to as Coach Sheehan.
Well, yeah, I figured that was your trademark. You know, yeah, I didn't want to step on your trademark there.
No. I just want to make sure he's honored properly.
Absolutely. You know, obviously, there's a question of like, hey, have they, you know, they have new pieces, but have they really improved? And my basic answer is kind of like, it's hard to see it on paper, but let me see, because it's probably going to be some more subtle stuff that once in the system, they're hoping is going to work, i.e., you have guys like a Dietrich Wise and a Javon Kinlaw that you brought in, you know, guys like Dante Fowler are out, and, you know, like, does that help them more against the run than, you know, even though the names aren't necessarily some of the bigger names? I think that, to me, is part of what's interesting, especially a guy like Kinlaw, where it sounds like they might be playing him some on the edge, which, you know.
Big anchor.
Yeah.
I call them big anchors. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that work? Maybe they already think they've already, you know, helped slow that to, you know, look. So Saquon Barkley is not getting 200 yards. He's getting 100 yards, you know, something like that.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's the part that's a little trickier, and maybe they don't feel the urgency to have to get that guy, but it does feel like, just from a young, you know, if you're talking building for the long haul, you know, that's a position, that's one of the main positions they don't have sort of a younger upside guy, and that's why I keep coming back to that. But that's part of the challenge, I think, just with defense, this is defense in general, is, again, you're going to have to show me what it looks like in practicality on the field before I can sit here and say, yeah, they're definitely better in that area. And that's, you know, that I think is just, you know, going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Ben Stanek of The Athletic, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We appreciate that knowledge. 1-800-636-1067. If anybody wants to jump in and have a question to Ben about the mock draft, feel free. I'm glad we're done with the quarterback deal. Check that. That box is checked. O-line-wise, I thought, and it really isn't this free agent movement in the offseason, I've been real pleased with that. I think the potential we know is there. There's just only so many people walking the earth that are able to lock that spot down at left tackle. And so I'm pretty comfortable with what they've done. The question is, does this young man want to elevate himself from being a Pro Bowler to becoming a Hall of Famer? That's my question.
Look, it's a good question. I mean, like, obviously Houston decided to blow up their whole line. They moved on from players, not just Tunsil, but others. But obviously he's the main guy, and they have a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud, just like there's one here. So why would you move on from that guy? And I think – you know, I don't know this at all, but, you know, you look at some different reporting out there, and there's some sense. I think I read something today, in fact, about how Houston kind of decided, hey, their offense took a step back last year, and there was maybe some sort of culture stuff going on, and they felt like the offensive line was maybe part of the issue, and that's why they kind of blew it up. So you're right. It's one thing to say that they've improved at that spot. I think that's, you know, pretty unequivocally yes, they've done that, and that's why I really have no issue with that trade. There wasn't anybody else to kind of get. You know, you're gonna have to tell me how else they were gonna improve at that spot otherwise. But like you said, it isn't just enough to say improve. Can you go to another?
Yeah,
go to another
not,
level?
Tunsil. Look, Tunsil, I'm not mad at him, but I want to know that he wants more out of his career. In other words, when you're good enough to be all pro, and people say, well, he doesn't do this, and he leads, and he didn't do it. Really? Well, what happens if he would decide to lock in and decide that he wants to become a Hall of Famer? Now, it's a whole new ball game. And I think with DQ, I think with this brotherhood concept, the way they run their business inside that locker room, that may open up a door. And plus, he's dealing with a quarterback now that will help his cause because of his mobility. And I think that's a factor that would help him should he decide to be great. Not everybody wants to be great. But I think in order for this team to max out, we need Tunsil to decide, all right, I've been holding talent hostage. Because when you get the honors he's received and have done some of the things that they've reported, he's holding talent hostage.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the fit goes. You know, one thing I was going to say is that, like, you know, in terms of, like, Tunsil going to the next level, in terms of Deebo Samuel having a rebound year, maybe even in terms of Marshawn Lattimore getting back, you know, having a rebound year from him last year, you know, all this talk of the improved culture, which definitely seems to be a real thing, no denying it, having been around the team, you know, covering it for several years and seeing what happened last year. But this is also an example of where that comes. It's not just enough to sort of say, hey, we all like each other. When you now you bring in new people, do they understand what the standard is? Can you get them to buy in? And now when you have these guys coming in, again, Tunsil and Samuel, very good, but there's some kind of question with both of them coming off of the year they have. Or like you said with Tunsil, just is there another level for him to go? You know, this is where that culture comes into play, and I'd be very curious to see how these guys, you know, how that works with these new players. And you know, again, even Lattimore to some degree, he came in the middle of last year, never quite clicked, injuries, whatever. But you know, how does that work? I think that's a, you know, again, I think that's a real step in terms of where this goes beyond just saying, hey, you know, it feels better in the locker room.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% because Lattimore, I think, is all injury. I'm proud of him exposing his career, being willing to go out there knowing he wasn't 100%, but he wasn't afraid to go out and give it all he had. I love his demeanor. I love everything about him. He's just got to be healthy. And if he gets himself in the best shape of his life, he's got the perfect football demeanor. Now we want to see what more he wants. And that's the key about their locker room. They can help people have the career years based on their chemistry. And then based on how the coaches use them. You know, and that's use them, put them in a position to be successful. I trust the staff. And I think that they will do a great job at that. Ben's got a question for you.
Yeah, still on the subject here of the offensive line. Of course, you add Tunsil. He's your left tackle, no question about that. But, you know, some of the discourse regarding the offensive line has been, does Brandon Coleman move to guard? And then the reports came out from Keim that it looked like he was going to be playing right tackle for this football team. Do you think that's utilizing his best spot just to kind of switch him from one end to the other end there and have him continue to learn being a tackle in the National Football League? Or do you think he'd be better off maybe playing guard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked about this a lot, and back at the Combine, I was the one that asked Peters and Dan Quinn, is Brandon Coleman the left tackle of the future? And in both cases, they did not say yes. They didn't say no, but they didn't say yes. And if you're of a second-year player who, you know, you just watched start most of the year and you can't say he's the left tackle, then he's probably not. But which goes back to when he was a draft pick, or a prospect, some people definitely thought he'd be better off at guard or right tackle than left tackle. I you know, my sense has been that they're going to be put him at right tackle, which, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, is there a world where he's better off at guard? Maybe, but, you know, in terms of where this team is, you know, Sam Cosmi, once he comes back from the injury, you know, he's playing right guard. Allegretti, you know, was pretty solid at left guard. So there's really no space there. Not that Wiley was fine last year. Like, he improved, I thought, over the previous year. But, you know, again, from like an upside perspective, there's something there. But here's the thing, right? This is the thing with Tunsil, for anybody who's sort of questioning that or the price they paid. It isn't just the one position. It's potentially now multiple positions, because if Coleman, look, it's not like he was bad last year. It's just he was a rookie and he gave up, you know, 9-10 sacks and it didn't all quite click. If he's able to be a little bit better on that side of the ball on the right side, well, now all of a sudden you've got, you know, bookend tackles for the next, you know, 2-3 years or however long Tunsil is potentially here, and I think that's a huge deal. Now, it's a much bigger deal if he's a tackle than he is a guard. So, you know, maybe in 2 years they say, hey, you know what, we're going to move you inside. But I think for now it's pretty clear to me that they're going with tackle, and I think that's fine. I mean, look, I also think Andrew Wiley's going to have a chance to compete for the job. Like, you know, we'll have to see with Coleman. It's not like he's a done deal by any stretch, but that, clearly he's going to have the opportunity to win that job.
Yeah, he was banged up at the end of the year too, definitely.
I always feel like guys on one side, if you said to me, my vote would be left guard as opposed to right tackle. And then the things that he benefited from and learned from this season can carry over a bit. He's such a physical freak. I'm sure he'll make the adjustment. But that would be my two cents on it. But then again, that's why they've got a great staff. They understand what it'll be. No team comes back completely intact. And they lost some guys, some glue guys, some utility pieces that were really good. They also, we got to find out who makes that commitment now that they had that success. See, they got a piece of it. And so I'm expecting some guys to have the best offseason they've ever had. now that they've been in big-time playoff competition, now that they've been applauded now for a whole offseason, that stuff, it's intoxicating. And that's what I'm hoping that happens. And then it also gives staff a chance to scheme people up. O-line is intricate, and we had some injuries. You mentioned you lose a pillar, but, you know, maybe this guy's a plug-and-play guy. He played well at TCU at guard, so he's shown some versatility. I would love to put the sodium pentothal on him and find out, where are you most comfortable at? That'd be interesting for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's totally reasonable. And like I said, maybe guard is the ultimate answer. But then again, now, you know, now what do you do when Cosme comes back? Is Coleman, like you mentioned, left guard? I totally get it. So is Coleman now replacing Allegretti? Is that a better way to go? I mean, not that Allegretti is Russ Grimm, but, you know, I mean, he gives them some of that attitude and toughness.
Oh, I love it. I love the way he finishes blocks. And you know, Ben, the NFL, week to week, somebody gets nicked. You need 7-8 guys to play a multitude of positions to be able to move guys around. But it's interesting. It's all good banter. Well, my friend, people that want to check out your mock draft, Last Man Standing podcast with Ben Standing, how else can they get to the mock draft? Well, is this something to be posted on The Athletic?
It is on The Athletic right now. You can go to the Commanders page or just the NFL page. Find it there. You can. I've tweeted out the link a few times today at Ben Standing on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it'll be there, and obviously I'll have a lot more Commanders specific stuff going forward. But you know, I always think you got to look, especially when you're picking 29. You got to look at the whole board to figure out what's there. You can't just cherry pick and pick a guy that might be going eighth. You know, so you got to do that, and that's I very much enjoy these exercises, as you know.
You absolutely are, and you have dethroned Coach Sheehan as being the king of mock drafts. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for dropping knowledge on us.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Doc.
All right, good deal. Ben Standing, as Coach would say, simply one of the best. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will open up these locker room doors at 1-800-636-1067. Don't be shy. We're talking ball right here on Overtime. I think a good question to for me to be able to utilize your youth is to ask you if you view things as I view them. When I say Aaron Rodgers to you, what does that mean, and where do you think he will end up?
You know, I've gone back and forth about this because I've been under the impression for a while, and a lot of people don't agree with me about this, but I think a team that has true aspirations of winning meaningful games, of being involved in January football, if you're serious about that, you're not bringing Aaron Rodgers into your building. I really don't care that he threw for 28 touchdowns and only 11 picks last year, nearly 4,000 yards. I think what he brings to the table as a distraction is too much for a football team, which is why it's puzzling to hear teams like the Steelers floated around, because he seems like he's the antithesis of what the Steelers would want to bring in.
Now, but you're referencing the Steelers of the past. See, I think they're caught in the identity crisis.
Okay.
Because, and Big Tony, my dog, is suffering from this to exhaustion. We respect it. There's an image. There's something about it that, I mean, I've lived through it. It was a steel curtain. I mean, it was, boy, it was a beast. But now that dog's just not hunting. If the standard is a standard, well, that was excellence. That was playoffs. That was Lombardi trophies. We've lowered ourselves to the point now we're going, wow, you get a high five because you don't suck. That, to me, is implorable. Are you serious? Their offense is like they're driving like in a 67 Chevy.
It's been bad. And the Steelers, in terms of an organization, yeah, they win a lot of games.
Oh, first class. Oh, no, I'm not mad at that.
I know.
but there's an identity crisis. The team is it's fragmented. It's sad because, you know, nobody – you need somebody to come in. It's like a house appraisal to me and appraise your property. They can't let you do it. If you do it, it's going to be off the charts. You need to have somebody else come on the outside. And then people kick the tires on them and say, yeah, excellent in this and that. But they're just – they're offensively, they're just – they're not in the 2000s. It'd be interesting. You know, what does Aaron do? Aaron makes you defend him. That I give him credit for. The question is, just like we were talking earlier about the Commanders, what does Aaron really want out of this? I've not heard that articulated.
I don't.
What
know.
Does Aaron want?
I can't figure it out because he has nothing left to prove
in his football career. No, but how will he? He won't be remembered like he would have been remembered 8 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I think the past couple of years have definitely, in a way, tarnished his legacy to not being considered as great as he was in his prime. Because, like you said, you want to hear how a young guy feels about Aaron Rodgers. That's the quarterback I grew up knowing as that's the dog. That's the guy that wins football games.
My mom, our favorite player.
He's the guy, if you give him the ball back with a minute left in the game, like we saw with Jaden Daniels this year, you knew the game was over. And now it's just kind of crazy that I can't view Aaron Rodgers the same way, and part of that is personal reasons, and I try to not let that get in the way of my best.
Is it personal or physical? In other words, whether or not you want to make him a pen pal, I can understand that. But can he still, can he move the ball, your team, down the field? And can he get you in the end zone? That's all I want to focus on. I don't care if he's a jerk. I don't care about none of that. What I want to know is can he lead an offense to the end zone?
And do you agree that he can or can't?
Oh, I think he can. I think he's still capable of that if you protect him. He's not a runner. He's one-dimensional in that. If not, then what's the difference between Aaron Rodgers or Joe Flacco? But I think these decisions have to be made. Minnesota, who I have a lot of respect for them, I think they thought about it, which makes me feel like he's credible because I respect them and how they run their offense. They looked under the hood. They may still be looking under the hood. But that is one of the biggest questions going on right now. Is this guy still capable of helping you win a game on offense?
Minnesota, I think's knocked this offseason out of the park. I think a lot of ways they've gotten much better, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But now you put your trust, it looks like, in J.J. McCarthy because of that situation. They've gotten some calls.
If he's healed. Yeah,
if he's healed.
His body's ready to go. But they're still guys, they have to get a security.
You only
blanket.
Get so many years with the QB on the rookie contract. They already lose one of them because of the injury. Yeah. They might potentially lose him for, you know, part of the next coming year, depending on his health. So if you're Minnesota, it's a massive decision because given how good they are defensively, how good they were last year, got everything out of Sam Darnold, that's a team that is ready to compete with the best of them in the NFC. So they have to win soon.
Yeah, and if you don't think the mental part of this game or sports is important, then you just didn't look at Sam Darnold. They didn't make those highlights up. He was in L.A.
Good teams.
Yeah, excellent fronts, know how to put pressure on you, and then that magic was gone, just dwarfed. Something to think about. I can't believe it, but it's still – at the same thing with Russell Wilson. We're still talking about guys that once upon a time had game. The question is, do you just hope they still have gas in the tank? And would you be better off just moving on? I mean, it's just not a fruitful draft. These prospects, I think we're reaching on a number of people. I still think the mayonnaise man is a joke. You're just not supposed to have to take these shots in the first round picks and come up blank.
You talking about Levis?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's built for Hollywood.
Yeah,
he's built for Hollywood. I'm not certain he's built for the NFL.
He's not. I think you're right about that.
But the dude will be in Hollywood. If nothing else, he's convinced me of that.
That's
okay. If he's as good on the camera as he is, if he could be that good on the field, then he'd be worthy of it. He does not lack for confidence, no doubt about it, and nor should he. But and that's the kind of scuttlebutt that we're not dealing with. I thought the way that we brought over people selectively and given up some draft choices for it, but I like the way AP operates. Give me guys I got film on. I want to see people. You went through your dress rehearsal on somebody else's dime. I want to take a calculated risk. That I agree with. 8:43 in the nation's capital. We'll take you up to 10 p.m. And we'll take a quick break. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Where do you stand on AAA, Ron? Thing I love about JD5, man, you know when you're a celebrity, wherever you go, you end up front page. I mean, he's sitting there with Juju, and next thing you know, Mama Bear sitting in between. That was hilarious. I really enjoyed that. We got lucky, man. Can you imagine having your quarterback being as good as he is and level-headed? That to me is key. And this team's on a rebuild. The D-line here, I mean, I really thought, and I was curious as to what kind of movement that we would have getting a cow. And many years ago, I would have said, if you had a Cowboy coming over here, but no, them days are over. Anybody, I saw him beat us. And so anybody that I saw run past us, I'm glad he's running with us. So I'm not mad. You're not going to hear anything funny from me about us signing the Dallas Cowboy and nothing like that. Not at all. But this offseason, it's interesting about how you build your team. And I'm really an inside-out guy, but right now I'm whatever they say goes guy because they've got a plan, and I trust them. And you have to be able to trust them because they're not going to do things that everybody understands. But I know now at least they vetted the people. They did it with purpose as opposed to just, oh, well, whatever. No, that is over. So I think the whole offseason for me is about do we make our team, I want it to be stronger up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, the outside guys, receivers, I'm never going to get in an argument about that. Whomever we get, hey, that's, you know, whatever, do your thing. That's never going to get it. I like Gallup. I mean, I saw him beat us. I saw him do a lot of things. He's been out. I think when you leave the game, you get hungry for the game again. I believe we're going to see something out of Luke McCaffrey, really something. I believe that. Debo is now, he has been recalibrated. He's a phenomenal talent. But, you know, when he mouthed off a little bit before that last playoff game and then he failed to be Debo, that ain't him. He's a playmaker. Now, we're going to get him coming on a rebound. We're going to get him pissed. We're going to get him say, oh, y'all doubted me? I love a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I'm not worried about Debo. Yeah, I mean, I like our people. If we had to start it right now the draft, you're going to get a few people in here. It's going to get a little bit better if you get lucky. Counting on rookies, you know, we did it last year. You got lucky. Usually people aren't that good. This JD5 kid, don't think that happens on demand. I mean, it doesn't. The one guy that I am really curious about is Daron Payne. not the new guys, but the guy who's still here, who I still think is has a freakish skill set. The question is, and I said the same thing we were talking about, Jeremy Tunsil. When guys have that kind of talent, I'd really like to get them in a room privately and say, hey, dude, all pro or Hall of Fame? Because I wouldn't ask you if I didn't think you had the potential to control your own destiny. But I need to see some signs of that. You're going to like Kinlaw. I don't know how much you've seen of his career, but you're going to like him.
I like him.
He's a dog. I'm telling you. I love dudes. I don't have to worry about whether they're going to be up to ready to go. I'm so glad Louvu's here. And like I say, what Bobby did, Bobby, we'll appreciate Bobby Wagner. I appreciate the captain, London Fletcher. And we got London after his, world championship run with St. Louis Rams. He's a dog. What we got to do is shed some off ramps so he doesn't have to run as far to get to the prey. That's why, I don't know what we're going to do with the picks, but that defensive end spot is so important to help leverage Bobby. Because if we don't have to make him run as far, then the offense is in trouble. Yeah, then you're in a world of trouble. Because this dude here, you don't get the tackles. He's a machine, but he's human. And I think we're seeing, I think LeBron James is showing a lot of people in the various sports. And I'm not into the thing about who's the greatest of all time. It's not even a question about that. But what LeBron is showing me is that if he keeps playing at this standard that he's at his age, he's going to force me to rethink what I think. Do you realize how incredible it is what he's doing? Now, you're 21. You probably can't even imagine being 41. But think about it.
Okay.
And look at him. Just look at him last night. They were terrible in the game. But did you see him? He makes it look easy. Who else is doing it like that at his age? And the crazy thing about Steph Curry to me is that he is just as incredible to me as Bron. Just in a different light, different body, different everything. Now, I don't know. I saw a shot. I don't know if it was. I believe it because I would trust Steph. You see that shot he threw up and made the other day? Like a trick shot, like throwing from the stands?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. This dude's range, and you know what both of them have in common?
Tell me.
All they do is train and prep and work on their game. They're all in. I mean, all in. And when I look at this, you try to assess and define the guys who played longer. Now, you remember when TB was playing the GOAT? What did you hear about Brady all the time?
All he does is win, and he's going to win.
But what
no
does he also
what?
Do? Is he has no offseason.
Yeah, he works his butt off all the time.
Always training.
And same thing with LeBron.
That's my point.
People want to discredit.
You would think that would be contagious, but it's not.
Doc, it's crazy that people want to discredit LeBron James all the time and how he's playing. Like he isn't 40 years old, still playing on a dominant level.
Well, they get into who do you like, and they get into he can be a bit manipulative. He's done, but I'm not talking about. I'm not voting. This is not an election. What I'm saying is that who have you seen look like that and move like he moves? I never thought he was a particularly great shooter. He's shooting lights out now. He's bombing threes. He's still getting to the cup. He doesn't defend like Dennis Rodman like he used to. But if he needed to in a short spurt, and I know it sounds crazy, for me to say to a man who's 21, he's 40. And you probably think that's old. You could think it's old. Seems young to me. I'm looking down at him going, my God. Every time I see a highlight package, I literally have to catch myself and say, if this dude would shave his head bald so we wouldn't see his reclining hairline, how would you know how old he is?
I mean, the way he plays, you wouldn't think he's as old as he is. You need to want to be that good at that age. In the D.C. area, we need guys that look at that, look up and say, I want to be that great when I'm that old, and I need to work my tail off to make that happen.
Well, I think Tony Tim Hassenberg shared with us when we were talking about the Wizards the other night that they have now in this program, SARS, these young guys, they are on a path that I think is going to lead them to success. And it all becomes about the work. I love Larry Bird stories. And I love Kobe Bryant stories. I love that. And every time you hear them, what you hear about these guys is that they literally outworked everybody else with the gifts. A lot of guys have the gift, but they don't put in the work. And that happens in a lot of facets of life. 1-800-636-1067 is our number. We're going to go to a break as we attack the 9 o'clock hour here on Overtime.